Today, our lesson is about the 40-day period after Jesus was raised from the dead. And the idea came to me as a few quarters ago that we were teaching, I think Eric and I was teaching in the book of John. And the idea of this period, of this 40-day period, as we find in Acts chapter 1, that Jesus was with his disciples and with different groups of his disciples, and the things, the events that happened during that time. And when I first saw this and I first started thinking about it, I thought, well, there's really not much there. It's a very short, we're very limited on what's said. But as I got studying it, on the contrary, there's a lot said about it. It may be just in a few verses. It may just be in a chapter. But there is quite a bit said. Matter of fact, as I was doing my study, and I'm going to call this today an introduction to this period, I've got 12 pages of notes. Don't worry, I'm not going to teach them all or go over them all. But even with that, I've just touched the hem of the garment on this. And it's a wonderful time, a wonderful period that we seem to overlook sometimes. So let's start off in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, verse 1, the former account I made, O Theopas, that all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, it's interesting, as we would look at things, we look at the sufferings of Jesus. Brother Sparks mentioned this morning in the class in his prayer about all the things that Jesus went through. He was beaten. He was slapped. He was spit upon. He was tortured. He was insulted. He was stripped and nailed to the cross to die on the cross. And when I said all that, there's more. The thing, if you look up in the scriptures, there's more things that were done to him. And so he was flogged. I mean, forgot that one. It's a major thing. Most people, or some people, even died as they were being flogged. So all these things Jesus did, and they made fun of him. You know, if you're the Christ, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. You know, and just really insulting him. And you would think, in human terms, if it was Jerry Bailey, if I came back from the dead, I would show up right in the middle of their Sanhedrin and say, I'm back. Or I would have shown up as Pilate was eating breakfast, I would have been sitting there waiting on him. Or the soldiers that beat him and mocked him, I would show up in their guardhouse and say, why were you beating on me? But God's wisdom is far above our wisdom. And his ways are far above our ways. As a matter of fact, Jesus indicated that he didn't intend on showing himself to these people at all. Look in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. In verse 63 through 68, where Jesus is before the high priest and he was more or less commanded to say, are you the Christ? You tell us plainly, are you the Christ? And Jesus admits that he is the Christ. In verse 63, and Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. This is Jesus' answer. It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven. So when was Jesus going to reveal himself to these people? Not until the end. They had their opportunity. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So what happened during this 40 days that Jesus was raised from the dead? We read in Acts chapter 1 that we're given a couple of answers there. One, that he was taken up after through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering with many infallible proofs. And being seen by them during the 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So we see three things there. One, God was giving them commandments. He was instructing them what to do. Second, he was gave infallible proof that he was alive. Not just a spirit, not just a vision, but he was alive. And that third, that he was going to teach them things about the kingdom of God. We see a summary of what happened during these 40 days at the end of Mark. At the end of Mark, he gives us a very, very brief summary of it. Not going to read all that now, but it's pretty short. He just talks about being seen by Mary, some of the women, Mary Magdalene, some of the women, and how that he had went before his disciples and how he gave them the Great Commission, and very brief summary. But I would like for us to turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I don't have time to read all of this, but I would love just to read the whole chapter. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found a stone rolled away from the tomb. And they went in and did not find the body of Jesus. It happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garment. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen." Verse 13. Now behold, two men were traveling the same day to the village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. So they were, while they were conversing and reasoning, Jesus himself drew near them, but their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. Verse 19. And Jesus said to them, "What things?" He's talking about the things they were talking about. So he said to them, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified." Verse 22. "And yes, some of the women of our company who arrived in the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body, but they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and so slow of heart to believe, and all the prophets, and that all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ have suffered these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expanded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." Verse 30, verse 31, Jesus revealed himself to them, and they couldn't wait to go tell the other disciples. That very hour, verse 33, they rose up And they returned to Jerusalem and found the 11, and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." And they told us about the things that had happened on the road, and how they had known that he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Verse 36. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, Peace to you. And they were terrified and frightened, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to him, "Why are you troubled? And why do you doubt? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe, for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and they took it and ate it in their presence. Verse 44, and he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while you were still with you, that things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to him, "Thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." So as we see, Jesus taught his disciples. He explained to them about the scriptures of the prophets, the Psalms that were about Jesus and about his death. And he told them these things had to be because the scriptures had to be fulfilled. And he told them that the repentance and remission of sins had to be preached to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. "You are my witnesses." These men were the eyewitnesses of Christ. And as they went about their lives, they were the ones that were to proclaim this message to the people. Over 2 decades later, we find in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Starting with verse 3. "For I delivered to you first of all that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, that he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12, and then after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present, to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, one as one born out of due season." So we see these appearances of Jesus, that Jesus taught them about the kingdom. He taught them about repentance and remission of sins. We find that he gave them the Great Commission by giving them commandments. And as we study these things, and we put all these things together, we have a list of these appearances. Sometimes it's a little hard to get all these in order, but this is the way things went. The women went to visit the tomb, but they did not see Jesus. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24. Peter and John ran to the tomb, but they did not see Jesus. The first appearance was by Mary Magdalene. Mark 16, 9 through 11, and John 20, 11 through 18. The appearance to the other women, Matthew 28. Appearance to two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Mark 16, Luke 24, and 1 Corinthians 15. Appearance to the 10 disciples without Thomas, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20. The appearance to 7 disciples by the Sea of Galilee, Remember, this story is when they were told, Jesus told them to cast their nets into the other side, and they filled the boats with fish. John 21. The appearance of 500. We don't know exactly when this took place, but it was during this 40-day period. 1 Corinthians 15. We had the Great Commission given in Matthew 28, Mark 16, and Luke 24. We had the ascension of Jesus into heaven, Mark 16, Luke 24, and Acts chapter 1. And when finally we have Jesus seen by Paul, or Saul, Acts 9, 1 Corinthians 14. So what proof do we have? What proof do we have that Jesus was raised from the dead? We have the four Gospels of eyewitness account of these people as they wrote these things. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have the writings of Paul. We have the harmony of these four Gospels. The fact that all these Gospels agree is proof in itself that these men were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Christ. We have the appearance reported in Acts. We have the appearances recorded in 1 Corinthians 15. So during this period, Jesus gave these men infallible proof that he was alive. He was human. He ate bread with them. He sat down with them. They were able to touch him. He was indeed raised from the dead. They were given commandments. Like in John chapter 21, Jesus tells Peter to feed his sheep. They were taught about the kingdom of God and how to enter that kingdom of God. They were seen by the disciples to become eyewitnesses. They were commissioned by Jesus to go into all the world and preach the gospel so that men may receive that teaching and be saved. And they were also told that they were to teach men the same things they were taught, that they may believe. And those men would, in turn, teach other men. Jesus did not leave himself without witnesses. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, before his ascension, he said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You shall be witnesses of me." Or to me. I'll get it right in a minute. "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the ends of the earth." So what do we have today? Is there any eyewitnesses today that we can go to and talk to? We don't have the eyewitnesses. In Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, where they were replacing Judas, there was a requirement there that someone had been with the Lord from the beginning of his ministry to his death, to his resurrection, to his ascension. We don't have anybody alive today that meet those qualifications. But we do have the witnesses, don't we? We have the witnesses of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the apostles. We have what they wrote down by the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at a few verses. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 13 through 15. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For you will not speak on your own authority, but whatever he speaks, he will speak. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. We're familiar with Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, where Paul, a prisoner of Christ for the Gentiles, said, "If indeed you have heard of my dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you will understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Talk about bringing in the Gentiles. But as we read these things, well, as we read what is wrote by the apostles, we have the understanding. 2 Timothy 3. We all know this one. 16, 17. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, the question is, it comes up, you hear it by your friends, you hear it on TV, you hear it on radio, is what the apostles taught, is it binding? The eyewitnesses of Jesus, is it binding on us? Well, if you look in Matthew chapter 16, we're just so familiar with this passage. Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him in verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Notice verse 19. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And that didn't go with Peter. That went with the other apostles also. So we have what they have, what they wrote to us. Yes, it's bound. It's bound. We also have today the blessings of God. In John chapter 17, when Jesus was praying his prayer, he prayed, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word. We have the words of the apostles. Jesus is praying for us that we may be one. John 20, verse 27 through 29. John 20. And he said to Thomas, reach your fingers here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed. We also have the Great Commission. In Matthew's account where it says that they were to teach men all the things that Jesus had taught them, that goes on today. As we teach, and we have been taught the Word of God, we look into the Word of God and teach others. Today, we are the proclaimers of God's good news. The gospel has been placed in our hands. We are the ones that need to be out there spreading the gospel. We're told in Romans chapter 10, how then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings and good news. Somebody said, oh, that's just for preachers. Let's don't forget in 1 Peter, we are priests. We are a holy priest. We make up a living building, a spiritual house. 1 Peter 2, verse 4 and 5. Today, I'd like to conclude this, really an introduction, because this is all it's been, by reminding us of a few things. One, we are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 25, as Jesus began his ministry, gave us the Sermon on the Mount. In verse 13 and through 16, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." As Jesus prepared his disciples for this tremendous work, we need to prepare ourselves. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13 through 16. "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, as was given to you by prophecy and the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your process will be evident to all. Take heed to yourselves and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing so you will both save yourself and those that hear you." 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. "Be diligent," or study, "to show thyself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed." 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 through 3. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And the last verse I'd like to leave with you, Colossians chapter 1. We'll turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. For all patience and long-suffering with joy, give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." So we look at these verses that tell us about what Jesus did in these last 40 days. We have much encouragement. We have much things to learn about what He did and what He taught. So what are we going to do with this? Well, what we should do with it is take it, listen to it, meditate on it, study it. Think about these things and see, am I the light of the world? Can I tell people about Christ and my reputation? With my reputation, can I tell people about Christ? Am I living a way to glorify God? Well, the only way to do that is being in the kingdom of God, being one of His children. And He taught His apostles the remission of sins, repentance and remission of sins. And He told them to go through all the world baptizing people. And that's exactly what they did in Acts chapter 2. So if there's anyone here today that needs to start and become a part of that kingdom, God's way, not man's way, but God's way, we give you that opportunity. If you're here and you have fallen away from the path of God and your reputation as not what it should be, and as you try to teach people, you find that your life is interfering with that, you need to repent. You need to turn back to God. We give you that opportunity at this point. It will be very long.